The next category of mukta is mukta machmas malachto le'isser. Literally means that something, its major use is for something that's prohibited on Shabbos, like a hammer, scissors. Its major use is something that's usher. If its major use, or even half and half, is for something that's mutter, for instance, you have a scissors that you use equally for cutting chicken, or I don't know if that's a good example because that's raw. Huh?
Hair cutting scissors.
Yeah, no, I'm saying you have a scissors that you use for something that's mutter. Right? Depends on what kind of hair you have. Something that's used for, I'm trying to find something that's mutter to do on Shabbos that you cut, use the scissors for. You cut, but the chicken is usually cut when it's raw, no? What? Cooked too? Okay. Okay, if that's mutter. Right, so for what's it called? You use it for let's say chickens. If you cut cutting, let's use that. We're not going to argue about this with the marshal instead of time here.
Okay. Make up the marshal.
Right. If you cut, right. So you use it equally for cutting a cooked chicken and cutting paper or your hair. Then it's not mukta. You can use it for the permissible thing right off. On the other hand, if you have a scissors that's used for cutting hair, a hammer that's used for what hammers are used for, then the halacha is like this, that it's mukta. However, if you need it to use it for something permissible and you don't have something readily available that's just as good to use for that permissible thing, for instance, you have nuts you want to crack and you don't have a nutcracker. You don't have anything else that's not mukta to crack the nuts with, or something as effective. You have a nutcracker, but it doesn't crack the nuts as good as the hammer does. And then you want to use the hammer to crack nuts, you're allowed to do that. And not only that, once you have the hammer in your hand, you're allowed to put it back wherever you want to put it back. Not just drop it after you crack the nuts. In addition, you're allowed to move it l'tzorich mekomo also. If you need the place where that thing is occupying, for instance, you come Friday night and you find out somebody put a hammer in your bed, okay, you don't want to sleep with the hammer, so you're allowed to pick up the hammer normally and transport it to wherever you want and put it down, because you need the place where the hammer is on. Now, that does not include, Moshe Feinstein says, where you want the place to look aesthetically nice for Shabbos. In other words, you have something on the table that doesn't really obstruct anything. It's off to a corner. You don't need that portion of the table at all, except it looks crazy to have a hammer on your table. So you want to take it off to make the table look nice. That's not okay. If you need to put a plate down where the hammer is, then you can move the hammer. And again, once you move it, you can move it anywhere. Right, put it where you want to put it away. But
in any way.
Pick it up regular. Yeah. That's called Tzorech Gufo Mekomo.
So to get something behind it?
What?
To get something behind it, like something on the shelf.
Yeah, something's on the shelf, then you need the place. You need that place empty so you can get to it, yeah. That's called Tzorech Mekomo.
You don't necessarily need that exact place, but you just prefer it.
What?
Let's say it's a table that you learn at or whatever. But
yeah.
There are a bunch of tables in the basement, but you prefer that one.
Yeah, fine. If you knew, it doesn't have to be that you absolutely knew that place. You right now, you want to use that place, that's fine. And therefore, things that are malachto le'isser, for instance, heaters, fans, you're allowed to move. If you need them, you need to use them now in the permissible way, because they're on. You want to move them around so they get closer to you or farther away from you or turn them around, as long as moving them does not affect their operation electrically. Right? Some things, when you move them, they're very sensitive thermostats and they already start going on or off or whatever, then you can't move them. That's for a different reason, not because they're mukta. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that in things that are connected to the electricity, that are plugged into the socket, and where you're allowed to move them, like a heater or a fan, it's better before Shabbos to tape the plug into the wall so there's a hecker that you don't pull it out and by mistake pull it out of the wall. But Iker Adin, that's not really necessary. If you forgot to do it, it's preferable to do before Shabbos. But if you didn't do it, you could still move the fan or the heater or whatever. Tefillin. Are they considered kli shemalach d'lisser? We don't put on tefillin on Shabbos. Question is, if it's usher to put on tefillin, or just you don't have to put on tefillin. There's a machlokas achronim. The Ramah says that tefillin are what's it called, not mukta. And the Ramah holds that what's it called? The Ramah holds that they're not mukta, and the Taz and the Magen Avraham hold they are. So lechatchila, a person should not. And some people even hold that tefillin are mukta machem sichsar and kis. You can't even move them. It's our gufa makoma. But lemaisa lahalacha, if you need to, right, and especially if the tefillin are in a place where they could come to lidei bizayon, so you can pick them up normally and put them away. And consider them klisha malachtol. Consider them not mukt at all. If you need the place where the tefillin are on, then for sure you can move them, because that's for sure they're not worse than klisha malachtol. But could be that they're not even that. That they're basically mutter to move. So if there's any tzorich to move them, they left them out somewhere where they could get stolen or lost or ruined or whatever. Then you could pick them up normally and put them away. But lechatchila, you should treat them as if they are kli shemalach to le'isser, and therefore take your tefillin out of your talis if you have the same talis for Shabbos and Yontif. Take it out of your stender if you needed to move it around or whatever before Shabbos.
If you didn't,
and
you need the talis,
you can use it.
Why aren't they considered chesaron keys?
Because they're not really something that you use one way or the other, and people would put them on. Even there's an Indian putting tefillin on, even where there's no mitzvah per se. Right? You wouldn't mind putting your tefillin on at night just on to wear them or whatever, if you'd be allowed to do such a thing. Right? You want to try them on or whatever. So they're not only used bedafka for the mitzvah that Shabbos you can't use them for or whatever. And you probably wouldn't use your tefillin to crack nuts with, but you would. They're not medafka that you're very careful, you know, what's it called. You'd wear them, it's like a beggar that you'd wear. If there was a reason why you'd have to try them on or show them off or something, you'd do that too.
That's usually only for the purpose of the mitzvah, though.
Right?
Any reason that you'd have to use it for, put it on?
No, not dafka. No, you put it on when there's no mitzvah. You want to try it on or show somebody else how to put on tefillin or whatever. You're not putting them on the shame mitzvah, which Shabbos Mishnah wouldn't be also to do. Because there's a mitzvah of tefillin. It's just that if there's any kind of issur, it's a mitzvah. What?
I think Kol Avos is a perfect example where in America they put it on, or some people put on tefillin.
Yeah, but there you're doing a misothic. Right? Yeah, I'm taking, you do it bechlau, just as a, the shame tachshit. It's a nice thing. You want to take a picture. You know, what's it called, at night, there's a bar mitzvah bacher with his tefillin. They do that. Right? So that also, that's the idea we're saying.
So one would not be allowed to, if you need to move them from one building to another building where there's no error, one would not be able to wear them to take them across?
You could wear them, take them across. If it's a bazillion or whatever, that's what you do with tefillin. If you find tefillin in the Rosh Hashanah, put them on and wear them. Why would you think that you couldn't do that?
Because if it's not considered, if it's something that's not worn on, as you're not supposed to wear on Shabbos, so that
it's not a beged. Yeah. No, it's still an eddy. It's still a what's it called? That the Gemara says. What's it called? That put on tefillin, zug. The only question is, you can put on more than one zug or one zug at a time. But the magic was that it's considered wearing, even though there's no mitzvah. Okay, pots that are normally used, majority used for cooking, but you also use them to serve out of. So as long as the food is in them, that's sarach gufam. You're using the pot for some mutter purpose of serving from. But once the pot is empty and there's nothing more to serve it, and you don't need it anymore to serve, then it's muktzah machmas melachto le'isser, and you can only move it if you need it to take it away from the place you need the place, or you need it to use for serving or for some other mutter thing. But if you don't, stam to transport an empty cooking pot is also just to move it for its own sake or whatever, to put it like it shouldn't be stolen, or michama letzel, you want to get it out of the sun or out of the shade or whatever, for the sake of the pot itself. If you're not moving it for a permissible purpose and that you're not using it for serving, right, it's not full of food that you're taking out of it, it's muktzah. Okay, what other things? You can figure out for yourselves what goes into this category.
The definition of that it's majority use, that goes for what, individual or about most people?
No, mishtamah, that depends on the individual. All muktzah things, mishtamah, depends on the individual. What you or machif. In other words, if somebody has the same exact scissor and they use it not to cut chicken, they use it only to cut paper, and you use it for cutting chicken, for you it's not muktzah. And if it's not muktzah for you, it's not muktzah for other people. That scissor is also not muktzah for other people also. You are miyachedid for a mutter, do you get that? It could be something that everybody else in the world only uses for something that's asr, but you are miyachedid for something that's mutter, then it's not muktzah. Okay. Yes.
So there's no, like, say, Shabbos morning or whatever, if there's pot gets finished.
Right.
Not like if it's on the table, but if it's on the counter.
It's on the counter, and you need the counter space.
You make do with the rest of the counter space.
But you'd like to use that thing. If you're going to use the counter space, you can move it. If you don't need that counter space at all, you're not going to use it at all. All you want to do is put the thing away, then you can't. And again, to get the thing out of sight is not called needing its place. You don't need the place. You just want the thing somewhere else. That's not the heter to move it. But if you need a place that it's on, then you can move it.
If it's finished while it's still in your hands, can you put it down?
Yeah, you can put it anywhere you want. You can take it and carry it to a different room. While you're holding it, the heter, even if you picked it up by mistake, you didn't need it for anything, but you picked it up by mistake, you're allowed to then take it and carry it wherever. You can't make the mistake on purpose.
It's possible for somebody to do a mistake on purpose, right?
Right, that's what I'm saying. You know what I mean. What? So Ramosha says, if you have a hammer on the table and you don't need the table, you know, it's on the corner of the table, you don't need that place. It's just it bothers you very much that you have a hammer on your Shabbos table. And covered Shabbos, you want to take it off. He said the biggest covered Shabbos is to leave the hammer there and let people know that you don't move mukzah.
Why can't some people wash dishes at the bottom?
Because that's a completely different reason. That has nothing to do with mukzah. That has to do with hachana. You're preparing. Here you're not preparing anything. So the reason you can do it, if it bothers you, is because that's doing it for now, not for later. But mukzah has nothing to do with preparation. It has to do with the fact the thing is mukzah itself. And if you're not moving it for the sake of the place, which is the heter, then there's no heter to move it. Two different, completely different things.
Yeah, but what a blinking idea. You like it not to be there, and I happen to need this place to do something else, and sort of in your mind, it's,
So that's what I said. You have to know what's emes and what's not emes.
Right, that's how I really like it. Right. You can get away without it, but I'd rather have it.
No, if you need the place, again, you don't have to absolutely need the place, but you can't find some other place to do the same thing.
Right.
If you are going to use that place, that's fine. But if you're not going to use it at all, right, you're just making up that you're going to use it in order to be able to move it, that's not okay. Okay.
Is that a harama?
What?
Is that a harama, which is fine by muktzah?
What harama? No, if you really need it. If you don't really need it, that's not harama either.
But you can find some use that where you actually would need it. And once you need that place, then you can move something.
And a chanami, but you have to use it for something. Right, you can't. Harama means that this is not my ikr kavana, but I'm doing it. But if you're not going to do it at all, right, that's not harama. That's out and out a lie. Okay.